soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Caribe! Goal!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a little housekeeping here. Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screens. Liverpool supporters group over there. They show the Premier League, show a lot of soccer over there. Go over there, say hi to Peter and Dave. I'm sure they're having a lot of great things going on tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day. Stay safe, though, everybody. That is very important. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, a big thank you to them, the presenting sponsors of this show, John and his firm. They're personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, you might drive an 18-wheeler, you might work in a refinery, you might do construction. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but you do need representation when you do. 713-322-HURT, they're bilingual. John and his firm going to bring you a personalized approach. They'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Okay, another thing to remind you, we've got a jersey giveaway, freshly minted. This is a new Dynamo jersey. It's not even out of the package. I'm not even taking it out of the package. You have a chance to win it. Go over to Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. All you got to do is like the post, follow at Glenn Davis Sock, follow at Soccer Matters GD, and then tag a friend. I'm going to choose the winner prior to the April 16th show. And we may bring that person on the air once they win it just to have a little bit of fun, okay? But a lot of people opting to get in on this and try and win that free jersey. So there you go. Okay, time to do, Paul Mariner is battling cancer. The former Ipswich Town, England striker, New England Revolution commentator with Brad Feldman. Also, he... coached Toronto FC for a time period as well. So thoughts are with him. And also, I'm not going to get into that one. So bring on now. I believe we only have Sergio Zelaya of the Surge. Is that correct, Aaron? Yeah. Okay. So we're waiting on Sam Purcell of the Texian Army. I did not hear back from El Batallón, so I wanted to make sure that everybody gets a moment here. Sergio Zelaya joins us from the newest Houston Dynamo supporters group called The Surge. Sergio.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, welcome to the show. So, you know, Surge, it's pretty cool to have a supporters group named after you.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I wish I can take credit for it, but the name just fit, and it just happened to be close to Sergio.
All right, so first off, let me just, as we get you back, I mean, I just want to jump in on just the energy and the excitement now. I'm feeling it as a commentator and somebody who's followed the Dynamo and doing radio shows. My partner, Eddie Robinson, is Cindy Bourbano. We're looking forward to it. We've got the first game in Major League Soccer of 2021. How pumped are you and the guys in your group, The Surge? And gals.
We're super pumped for that. Yeah, we're super pumped, and we keep talking about it in our group chat, and we just can't wait to be out there, you know, in the first game and just cheering on the boys.
All right, so supporters groups around the world, there's all kinds of differing, you know, names, Ultras, Hinchada, Porras, in Brazil it's a Torcida. So what are some of the rules of your group that you can tell us?
I would say we're more of a friendly group. We're not really into the ultras kind of style, you know, the hooliganism. You know, we want to be friendly to other supporter groups of other teams. Of course, during the game and in BBVA, we're enemies. But outside of that, you know, if we want to have a beer with another group, then we can. You know, we're all here for the game. We're all here for MLS. And it just makes sense to go by that.
I like that attitude. But, I mean, do you have rules like, you know, I know around the world, like, you can never stop singing or chanting. I know EB does that. You guys do that. You never can sit down at games. I mean, some of these supporters groups go pretty heavy with some of the demands they put on people when they come in the group, and you know, attending as many games as possible, whether home or away. Are these kind of in stone with you guys? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, for sure. And I could say this for all the groups in Hustletown, that if you're in the supporter section, you're in there dancing, screaming, singing, waving flags 90-plus minutes, nonstop, giving all you have.
So the overall umbrella is Hustletown, and that includes Surge, Texian Army,
us,
El Batallón, and who else?
And Bandera Negra.
Ah, Bandera Negra. That's right. I should have invited one of those guys on tonight. I knew I was missing one group. How do you all get along? I mean, how much interaction do you have? How much, you know, is there a thin line that you work together on certain things, chants, those kind of things? How does it work?
Yeah, we get along pretty well. Every month we have a Hustletown meeting, so we just go over, you know, what happened the past month, plans for future events. So Hustletown started last year, and, you know, there were plans to do a lot more stuff together, but, of course, that couldn't happen due to COVID, and we'll probably be limited this year. But going, you know, looking in the future, we're hoping Hustletown becomes, you know, big, and you know, it just makes the atmosphere at BBVA that much better.
Well, I can say, acoustically, you guys did an incredible job on the few games we got to broadcast this year, but... You know, how do you get more fans interested in the Dynamo and in supporters groups? How do you do that?
Well, obviously the first thing would be the performance on the field by the team. That's the easiest way to get people. But I think what I want to bring with the Surge is to, you know, just have something different. You know, the goal for us is to be more than just a supporters group, you know. You know, of course, during the game, we're there, we're screaming, we're yelling, but we also want to support our community, and we want to support the culture of soccer in our city. So I think that's a good way of just bringing in more people outside of just Dynamo games.
All right, so I see, and you got a great website. By the way, for everybody listening, it's wethesurge.com. Really appreciate coming on the show tonight, Sergio Zelaya of the supporters group, The Surge. It says for club, community, and culture. So I see the words. What does that mean? How do you do that? You know, you said you want to be more impactful in the community. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, volunteer work, you know, charity work, just being out there, you know, for the community. For example, during the winter freeze, we went out to the Houston Food Bank and spent, you know, a Saturday afternoon there just helping out and, you know, packing lunches for kids who didn't have any food. So just doing stuff like that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And kudos to you and the group for that. Culture.
Thanks.
Soccer culture, you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
How do you become beacons for the soccer culture and maybe... getting people excited. You certainly do that visibly when you're in the stadium. If, you know,
right.
we keep boosting that attendance. I mean, obviously the Dynamo sold their first game out with Chicharito and the LA Galaxy in town. You certainly do that in stadium. Is there ways of doing that outside the stadium? Is that simply just maybe talking to somebody and encouraging them to come into your group?
That and, you know, just working with people who also enjoy the game. The latest thing we did was partner with a league called Bolt League, which is a 5v5, you know, tournament league that they play at the HTX Sports Creek close by BBVA Stadium.
Yep.
And, you know, we helped sponsor them, you know, and our logo is on the chest of one of their teams called Houston Town. And, you know, the reason we got into that is because I heard the founder of Bolt League, his passion for the league and for the culture and improving soccer culture in the city. And I just felt like that's something that we also have that same vision and it was easy to work together on.
March to the stadium. Do you have any plans for that on that Friday, April 16th versus San Jose? How much of that can be done due to COVID?
Well, you know, it's going to be 30% capacity, so it won't be like the opening of last season. But, you know, a lot of people in our group are excited to be there. And we're going to have a pregame beforehand, you know, just get everybody, you know, boozed up and excited to go cheer on the Dynamo. And as far as any other plans after that, that we would have to talk to the host of town, like, for any, you know, TIFO ideas that we have. And I don't want to spoil anything yet.
Yeah, no problem. We're talking to Sergio Zelaya of the supporters group, The Surge. You know, it is interesting because it is a social group as well. You all have a like-minded interest in the Dynamo and soccer. I know people have ended up dating, getting married, having families. The Texian Army, God rest his soul, lost Russell. You know, you find out about each other. I mean, you become supportive of each other, hence the name supporters group. But not only are you supporting the team and the club, but you're also supporting each other, right?
Right. It's a family. You know, there's a lot of close friends I got out of this group. And that's what I tell people. That's one of the first things I tell people who are interested, that, you know, this is a community. This is a family. You know, if you're here, we got your back, and hopefully you have our back for anything that we needed.
So what more can you tell us about the group? You know, how can people get into it? Is there any process, or is it just, hey, you can join the group? I mean, obviously I can send people to wearethesurge.com. That's their website. It's a sharp-looking website. They have their own gear, all kinds of things over there. They do it for club, community, and culture. But, Sergio, what else can you tell people about getting into the group and what it takes to get into the group?
Well, all it takes is going into the website and signing up. But if you did have any questions, you know, you could always reach out to us on social media, The Surge SG, you know, on Twitter and Instagram, and we'll answer any questions for you. If somebody was interested and they just want to hang out for, you know, a pregame or just hang out some weekend, you just let me know and I'll come out there and I'll tell you all about The Surge. You know, like I said, it's a community, you know, and we're just out here supporting the Dynamo, supporting our city, and supporting the culture.
Well, listen, Sergio, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Great insight. We didn't get Sam Purcell. He was supposed to join. We reached out to El Bateo, and I know it was a little bit late on them. But I appreciate you coming on tonight. Great stuff, and continue all the good community things you're doing. Keep enjoying the games. Keep supporting the team, and thank you very much for taking your time to talk to us about your supporters group.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, that's Sergio Zelaya. I appreciate him coming on tonight. Good stuff there in and around supporters groups. And, yeah, good bunch of men and women supporting the team. They bring so much to the games, by the way, not only just visually and the color that they bring and the excitement, but the effort they put in over 90 minutes. You have to appreciate that. Some of the drummers, you know, these guys are just pounding away the entire time. Everybody's bouncing up and down. Everybody's singing. And that is one around the world. That is a big part of, you know, whether you call it hinchadas or ultras. Brazil, it's a torcida. It's to never stop singing and chanting, no matter what, winning or losing. So pretty cool. So one thing that's a bit of a pet peeve here, watch Manchester United, West Ham United this past weekend. And as we all know, Jesse Lingard of Manchester United, or you may not know if you're not a United fan, he's on loan to West Ham United, but he can't play in that game because there's that rule. If you're loaned out to a team and you're playing against the team that loaned you to said team, you can't play. But man, what a storyline you take away. What a piece of interest you take away. I was dying to see Jesse Lingard play against Manchester United, go up against his teammates, go up against, you know, Harry Maguire, go up against Lindelof, guys that he plays against in training. And to be trying to beat the team that loaned him to West Ham. But alas, that rule is in place, I'm sure for good reasons. Compromised loyalties, things like that potentially. But That's one that that would have been really interesting to see. Steve Cherundolo is going to take over the Las Vegas Lights, the affiliate of the LA Galaxy. And if you remember, Steve Cherundolo, just an outstanding outside back for the United States men's national team, incredible career in Germany, has captained teams in the Bundesliga, has done a ton of work coaching-wise, much like Tap Ramos. These are guys that just got after coaching. You know, didn't expect to be handed a job. Really went after the coaching craft and working at it. And pretty exceptional. Aaron, do you have the soundbite? Did we get that of Eric Lamella, the Rabona, the Spurs goal, or not? If not, it's okay. Okay, we're going to take a break. Eric Lamella scored the Rabona. It was unbelievable against Arsenal, 2-1 loss. And then he was sent off, actually. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out what they're doing up in Austin with Austin FC. It's an interview with former Portland Timber, now with the with Austin FC, Julio Cascante, a center back. We'll get a sense of what's going on in Austin, because we now have three Major League Soccer teams in the state of Texas, FC Dallas, Austin FC, Houston Dynamo, of course. And then we have all these great USL franchises, RGV, you got El Paso, you got San Antonio, you got the Bold in Austin. Pretty remarkable what's going on here when it comes to opportunity, both on and off the field, when it comes to Major League Soccer teams and USL teams. We'll take a break. The break is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are bilingual. All you have to do is call the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. Daspit Law Firm is going to bring you a personalized approach. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. Get that representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Julio Cascante joins me of Austin FC.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Soccer Matters presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com is the number. We appreciate John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for being the presenting sponsor of this show and continuing to get soccer on the airwaves. Okay, we're going to take a trip to Austin. We're going to find out a little bit more about Julio Cascante. Before we go to him, Julio Cascante played with the Portland Timbers over 50 matches, 2 goals and 2 assists. Center back from Costa Rica, has played for Saprissa, and he'll be fighting for playing time in Austin with Johan Romagna, who's a 22-year-old Colombian who Austin FC discovered with Guarani in Paraguay, who they also got they loaned out Cecilio Dominguez there, as well as Rodney Redis. But also he's competing with Matt Beisler, the former Sporting Kansas City center back. So here's the interview with Julio Cascante. We'll get a little bit of a feel what's going on at Austin FC. Julio, welcome into the show.
Glenn, how are you doing?
Very excited to have you on, Julio. I've enjoyed watching you play for the Portland Timbers. I'm probably going to enjoy more you playing for Austin FC, and we appreciate you coming on tonight. I guess maybe just start it off by just kind of give us an update as to how preseason is going and training and getting used to the new guys.
Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for having me in your program. I think it's I feel very proud. And, well, the preseason as normal is very, very hard. I think this one is not a deception. We have been working really hard to get there, to get to the point that we want to, the coach wants to. So I think we're really happy because, as well, we see a family in this group that I think that's the most important, always like to keep the group like together, and then from there like start working really hard, and that's our goal by now. But yeah, the preseason is looking good. It's looking We're looking for what the coach wants, and we're getting there.
Julio, you come from one of the great environments in Major League Soccer in Portland. You played a number of games up there, 51 appearances, 41 starts, 2 goals, 2 assists, a remarkable soccer market. You seem to be entering another remarkable soccer market here. You're pretty blessed playing in these two great soccer markets where you're playing in front of big crowds and people are interested. Speak to me a little bit about how maybe the two markets might be very similar.
Oh, yeah. I come from Portland, right? And I would say that's one of the best teams in the MLS. You play in front of, I don't know, 20,000 people every game. And that's very important for you as a player, because you feel that environment, you feel that support. And, well, we are so happy. We are the players and the coach staff, because I think we're going to face that the same thing here in Austin. We are so excited for that first game against San Jose here in Austin. So I think, well, as well, the supporters, the fans there, they are so happy for that day. We're so excited.
Talking to Julio Cascante, excellent center back, now a member of Austin FC, comes over from the Portland Timbers. When you first heard of the move, Julio, what did you think about it?
Well, I think when you come to a new team that is just brand new, you want to build that relationship with the fans. First of all, because I think the fans are the most important part of one team. And yeah, I think coming here and seeing all the messages supporting me, I think supporting all the guys, that's very important. And then having all the really great coaching staff that we have today, I think that make you believe in what we're doing. We're going, of course, day by day, working really hard. And that's exciting, because I think at this point, like I would say, like everyone is expecting like something like big from Austin, and well, we're working for that. And I think if we keep going in the way that we're doing it, we're gonna get there.
Julio Cascante joining me, and of course, I guess an easy question for me is just to. You're getting used to Josh Wolf as a manager now, first time with him. Any similarities between him and Gio Savarese in Portland?
Well, of course, every coach, I think, has their own mentality, their own way to play, their own way to see the game. And, of course, they are different. I think Josh has like a big open mind on the modern soccer. So I think me as a center back, even I think I'm very happy, very excited to start, you know, to start the first game, to every practice. I think everyone gets there and they really want to train it because of that, because it's just happiness in every practice, because you learn every day, you learn every practice from him. I think it's very, very smart.
Julio, I remember hearing an interview with you, and you spoke about your time in Portland, and you were on Portland at the time, and you talked about the influence, you know, that some of the veterans had on you, the Diego Charas, the Diego Valeris. I get the sense that you're, now that you've progressed in your career, and I've looked at the kind of timeline of your career and where you are, you're a father now, all these incredible things have happened to you. I get the sense that you now want to be more of a leader.
Yeah, I think so. I think when you, how can I say, when you spend like time, like precious time with people like them, like Chara, like Oleri, like Sebastian Blanco, it's just all about learn. You need to learn from them. They are like such a big leaders inside and outside of the field. And that's important, right, for you to be as better soccer player and a better person, a better father, a better friend, a better husband, everything. I think that helps a lot. And today I'm here. I cannot say that I'm a leader, but I try to, like, I don't know, the youngest guys. For example, Danny Pereira, he's coming from the draft. And sometimes that can, like, you know, like, affect, like, in the wrong way. But you try to keep them, like, in the family, and keeping, like, inside of the soccer. And like, I think that's good, because that's part of what I learned from the guys from Chara and Portland. And today I wanted to apply with them, you know, apply with Dan, for example, like I said. And yeah, I think my time in Portland was amazing. 3 years there. Yes, I have nothing bad to say about Portland, about the people, about the staff, anyone, because in day one, they treat me as a part of the team, as a part of the family. And today that I'm here, I think I want to be like a really good environment here in Austin.
Speaking of Julio Cascante, really enjoying this interview, and thanks so much for doing this, Julio. I know you have a family, so I'm conscious of that, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And I think more importantly, the fans of the team will be very thankful. How competitive is it between you know, Johan Romagna and Matt Beisler? I mean, there's some real competition in that center back position.
Yeah, of course. But that's part of this, you know. I think everyone wants to play. But first of all, we are teammates. We are supporting each other to make the team look better, not player by player. I think I'm supporting Romagna and Beisler. They are supporting me. So that's I think that's the most important here, the team. And of course, at the end of the day, who starts, he always will receive all the support. I think it will be wrong if someone thinks like something different. But like I said, in this team, we are persons, we are people first. And I find like this team like very, very, very proud, very, very like, together, that even that competitivity between us, I think it's going to bring like a lot of wins for us.
Austin FC this Friday will take on OKC Energy at St. Edwards. So that's something I'm sure the players are looking forward to at this point. Julio, I just want to talk to you about playing in Costa Rica. You played at a very big club there, Saprissa. What are some of the differences between playing in the Costa Rican First Division and Major League Soccer that you learned about once you got here to the Portland Timbers?
Well, yeah, I think when you come to the MLS, today the MLS is a big league. You have like a big, so much bigger players coming from Europe, and that's almost impossible having in Costa Rica. You have forwards like, I don't know, Jose Martinez, Zlatan Ibrahimovic that was here, you know. And I think the intensity here in the MLS is big. You run a lot. In Costa Rica, it's a little bit different, a little bit slow the game. But yeah, when I came here, it was about that. It was about changing my mind, about playing in a different environment, playing in different situations. And I think like today, I could say I'm really good here. I really get used to it.
Julio, take 40 seconds and describe yourself as a player personally to the fans. I find that always an interesting question to hear somebody talk about how they perceive the way they play the game.
Oh, yeah. I'm a center back, and, well, I see the soccer as a center back. I have to be strong, really strong defender, because I have to protect my family, in this case, my teammates. They need to feel that support from me. And that's in the case when we're defending. And, well, with the ball, they have to feel that confidence as well, that if they pass me the ball, I will take the best decision. And yeah, like today, like I say, we come here and this big thing, everyone is expecting a lot. And I could say that I would give everything. I would give everything in every ball, in every training, in every practice, every game to make the Austin FC proud.
Well, Julio, thank you so much for coming on tonight. By the way, congratulations to you and your wife on a baby that was born a few months ago. Congratulations to that, but also a big thank you to take the time to come on the program here tonight. And I think this was a great interview for Austin FC fans, so thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
A big thank you to Julio Cascante, the center back of Austin FC, as they also prepare for the season. Expect the Dynamo Austin FC and FC Dallas to get some preseason games in here. We're only a little bit over a month away, maybe 30 days away from the opening game, so it is right around the corner. Quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. I've driven one for years. I've leased and bought from Advantage BMW Midtown many times. I love going down there. The customer service is crazy. I'd love the drive of a BMW. It's like no other. I drive a 5 Series, and I absolutely love it. The other thing I love is they'll just take you through everything. You're covered in sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy at Advantage BMW Midtown. Get yourself in a 3.5 or a 7 Series at Advantage BMW in Midtown, or get in an X5 like I'm in. Just absolutely love the vehicle. Despite the fact I haven't driven it a lot this last year, it is a great vehicle, and I love it down at Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there, say hello to Justin and Steven. And also a big thank you, as always, to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. We have more to come here. We'll wrap it up with Dave Sarakin, the head coach of the Puerto Rican national team. We talk some CONCACAF.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi guys, I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Final segment tonight on the show here, and it will be a good one. Before we get to it, though, a quick word here for Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, I drive a BMW. I've done it for years. I've leased and bought from Advantage BMW Midtown numerous times. Absolutely love the vehicle, love the drive. I've driven a sedan in the past. Now I'm in an X5. It's great for throwing a bike in there, throwing your dog in there. Took it on a long-distance run to see my elderly parents in New Jersey. The other thing, though, that I love at Advantage BMW Midtown is the customer service. Second to none. They're going to take you through sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get yourself in that sedan that you want. Get yourself in that X5. Get down to Advantage BMW Midtown. Remember that they are supporting the world's game, your game, soccer, and soccer on the radio. That's why I shop Advantage. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. ESPN 97.5. All right, so the final segment. We take a dip into CONCACAF. World Cup qualifying is going to begin for 2022. Puerto Rico is known as a baseball country, even a boxing country, basketball before soccer. But amazingly enough, Dave Sarakin, former Chicago Fire coach, assistant to Bruce Arena, man that's been to World Cups, you name it, he's pretty much done it in Major League Soccer and with the U.S. national programs. Well, he's the new head coach. I caught up with Dave in the Dominican Republic. Dave, let's just start with how the opportunity with the Puerto Rican Federation occurred here, obviously with qualifying for 2022, the goal.
Well, it's good to be on with you, Glenn.
Yeah, Dave.
Appreciate it. The timing sort of started in January after I decided to leave NCFC after they dropped to League One. I got a call from a young man who I'd met, who is a Puerto Rican, he was a Puerto Rican resident, but he works for Atlanta United. I met him, and he knew that I was available, and he asked if he could submit my resume to the new president of the Puerto Rican Federation, Ivan Rodriguez. I said, sure, and he did. And Ivan is a young guy who is very ambitious and wants to sort of elevate the soccer in Puerto Rico. And we had some conversations in January and early February about the challenge and the upcoming games in March. As we began speaking, for me, it was just the timing and the opportunity made sense. I love the opportunity to coach in a World Cup qualifier. CONCACAF is a familiar region to me. Obviously, Puerto Rico doesn't have a real history of success in international football, but there's some interesting young players that I feel will be fun to work with. And at this stage in my career, just to be able to sort of mentor and offer my experience to the Federation and intrigue me.
Dave Sarakin joining us here. He's the head coach of Puerto Rico. You remember him from Major League Soccer with obviously the Chicago Fire, longtime assistant to Bruce Arena at World Cups. March 24th, 12 days away, St. Kitts and Nevis for Puerto Rico, and then 4 days later, Trinidad and Tobago. All right, so you got 12 days. You're just yeah. meeting these guys now. It's a pretty incredible story. What can you do in 12 days to get prepared for your first World Cup qualifier?
Yeah, it's daunting in some ways, but a lot of work is going to be taking place over the next 12 days. I've had conversations with a number of players over the phone, and we've done a couple Zoom calls as well, just as an introductory sort of piece. But the real work starts when they start arriving this evening and getting into a training the next 10 to 12 days for preparation. And it's a two-way street. It's them getting to know me and my ideas and methodology. And it's myself and my staff getting to know them as players, because I've watched their games, their two friendlies in January. I have a little bit of a sense, but as many of you know, you really get to know them when you're on the field. And so we'll be doing some double days. We'll be doing some meetings. We'll be doing a lot of evaluating over the next several days to piece together what I feel will be a competitive group against St. Kitts. So it's for us older guys, it's like that Evelyn Wood speed reading class. Like, you just got to just tear into a lot of work in a short period of time.
So you obviously, though, are going to be familiar with a number of these guys from the USL, your time in the USL, all the scouting that you've done. I mean, you will know some of these players and what they're capable of, right? So in your mind, are you positioning people already a little bit?
I am. I had the advantage, like I said, I watched them play in January. So I had a sense of the players that I knew and those that I didn't. Cody Lorendi in goal, we had with the LA Galaxy, and he was on the LA Galaxy too. Jaden Cervania played for Birmingham. We played Birmingham a number of times. Sydney Rivera up top, I'm familiar with. So there's a few guys that I've kind of known, but there's many that I don't. And so I've talked to coaches around the league in MLS that have a few guys who've given me some, background into the players and what their best positions are. So I've done some homework, but many of these guys I'll be really meeting for the first time.
Has the Puerto Rican Federation president, asked you for ideas on maybe growing the grassroots and how we can, continue to shift the culture? Because it is as a place I know very well, it is a baseball country.
Sure. No doubt. Yeah. It's a good question. The opportunity and the timing for this particular job that I have is in the short term is to try to get this group competitive enough to win our group for sure. And I think obviously people will see Trinidad and Tobago as the favorite in our group. But at the same time, I take a step back and look at all the teams in our group with COVID and some preparation difficulties, I think it levels the playing field, and I think we have an opportunity. So when I had conversations with Yvonne, certainly it was to get this group as competitive as we can for March 24th and 28th, and then hopefully we'll have a couple more matches in June and maybe beyond that. But if it ends in June, we'll sit down and have another conversation about a bigger picture in terms of my role, because I think, as I said, he's very ambitious. I think he's looking to me in the short term to raise this level of this group, but also in the bigger picture to try to help with the infrastructure and the growth of the game in Puerto Rico.
you must be pretty, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. You must be pretty happy with some of the young players that when you took the U.S. over on the interim basis, guys like Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, Josh Sargent, you must feel pretty proud of what these guys are now doing in Europe, really setting a higher standard and a higher bar for the American player. It's pretty remarkable.
It's amazing, you know, and I've been around the game a long time and the U.S. national team program a long time. And that year when I had those 10 games throughout the entire year and the utilization of these younger players who are now blossoming, I feel very good and proud about that. And I think it's a testament to them to make that leap and get overseas and prove themselves. So it's so great to see.
The makeup of the Puerto Rican roster, I mean, how many of the guys are playing in the local Puerto Rican Football Association League, or are most of them in the United States in some shape, form, or fashion?
Yeah, the majority are in the United States. There's a few in Puerto Rico. There's a few in Spain. There's a few in Bolivia and sort of spread out a little bit around the globe. But of the roster, I may be wrong by one or two, but I think it's 10 or 11 are native to the country. There's a number of players that have a dad or a mom that are from Puerto Rico that allow them to be eligible. So it's an interesting mix. The Puerto Rican professional league is not at the highest standard, so many of them do play outside of Puerto Rico.
You know, it's interesting if you go to Puerto Rico's Wikipedia page, they call it the Chris Armish years, and my former teammate Mark Lugris did a great job of recruiting American guys that somehow qualified to play for Puerto Rico. Of course, Chris Armish was one of your great players. You've been highly associated with him with the Chicago Fire, the national team. And then, of course, Chris, you know, obviously went to the U.S. national team. But it really is a pretty interesting dynamic, the whole thing. That teammate of mine was Mark Lugris. So, you know, you're going to have to top the Chris Armish years.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I could use Chris right now, actually. If he came out of retirement, I could use him right now with this group.
He could probably still play. I wouldn't put that past him, but he's got a bigger job up in Toronto right now. Yeah. You know, speaking of things like that, to have worked with young men like that, you know, and knowing them at a young, young age, I mean, that's got to be so rewarding to see them, you know, advance, stay in the game, you know, go into pressure-filled situations like coaching at that level.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking about this the other day with my assistant here, Daryl. When I had the Chicago Fire, if I look back and now look at today, guys that I coached, Chris Armas, Jimmy Curtin, C.J. Brown, Ante Razov, they're all in coaching now. They're all in managing. I'm probably leaving out a couple as well. So many of these players, Jesse Marsh was part of my Fire team, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, all these guys that are now giving back to the game that played in Major League Soccer, you know, it's a natural progression, but it's a really rewarding thing to see that they've stayed in the game, that they're giving back. It makes me feel good and proud about that.
Dave Sarakin, heading up Puerto Rico, heading into World Cup qualifying in 12 days. They will play in the Dominican Republic against St. Kitts and Nevis. That's 12 days. It's less than 12 days away now when this airs. Kind of interesting to see, you know, when you look at all those guys that got into coaching that you mentioned, and now we look at where the game is even from that time period and all the other opportunities. I mean, now you got guys that are sporting directors, coaches, mm-hmm. On the marketing side of the game. Television commentators. I mean, the soccer opportunities at the beginning of your career, post-playing, because you were a professional player, there weren't a lot out there other than coaching. Now it's pretty remarkable to see all these other opportunities and how in industry the sport mm-hmm. is looked upon as a vehicle of promotion and sponsorship.
It's just great, you know, because early on in the early days, there were executives from other sports getting involved with soccer and didn't know soccer, whether it's GMs, owners, vice presidents, you name it. The hope was through time, people who have a real soccer feel and background took those positions. And that's what we're seeing now. So the GMs are former players. Vice presidents are former players. People, obviously the coaches now are former players. So the more we can get people in our sport that know the sport, the better it is for everybody. So it's moving in the right direction. And they're learning on the job. You know, it's not like you get a master's in being a GM of a Major League Soccer franchise. You have to get in and go. But having soccer background, it helps.
Well, Dave, look, you got a busy day. You got the players coming in, getting ready for this World Cup qualifier. I want to wish you the best of luck on March 24th against St. Kitts and Nevis. Incredible story, interesting story. Dave Sarakin heading up Puerto Rico. Dave, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Thank you, Glenn. It's always good to visit with you.
Absolutely. And you know what? We'll do this again because there's a lot of things we could talk about through your lens.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Dave. All right. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. As always, get the podcast of this show. You get it at podcastarena.com. The Austin Show, hornfm.com. A big thank you, as always, to Aaron Raybould, to all of you who tuned in and contributed, and to all of our guests tonight. Again, podcastarena.com for podcasts. The Austin Show, you get it at hornfm.com. Hit me up on Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. And until next Tuesday night, on behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.